open your hearts, hook up with what God has. Minister Brother John is coming to break open the bread of life. Brother John.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Lama kriya sa koma na kriya sa kriya sa tukriya se. E koria si komana kridia sukoria, tu komana kridia sukorbaria, e kobaria ma karobaria sakorbaria sukoria pregesi, e koria barian da kobakria sato kobaria so okrebia si tu komana redia sukorbaria se, e koria sata komana kridia sukorbaria si, e krebia sha tu komana kridia rokoribaria sakorbaria sako, kokorbaria sokorbia shokobakria sa, e koribia. Shat Kridia Sokrabia, she commanded Kridia say, Eko Baba Kriya, Sikrabia, Shat Kridia. Hear and make a decision. Hear and decide what you are going to do. Hear and decide where you are going to be and what I am going to do. This is your wake up call. You have been coasting, but I am telling you, I have planted a word. In this house, I have planted a word in the man and woman of God that you either hook up with or you will be trampled. You look in the word, and when the blessing came, there were those who did not believe. And I said, you will see it, but you won't participate. And they were trampled when the news came of where the blessing was. I have been speaking to you. And some of you have just been coasting along. But I'm telling you, it is time for you to wake up and to hook up. This ministry has a vision that has been a long time in coming. But this vision will be manifest. This man and woman of God that I have placed in this house will take it to the next level. You need to decide if you're going to be hooked up and if you're going to be flowing in what I have called this house to. It is time for you to make a decision. This nation, this city, this house, we need men and women who are hooked up with the God who holds the world in his hands. There is nothing going on that I am not in control of, but you have to be the vessels that I flow through. But you have to make up your mind. Make up your mind. It is time to stop sitting on the fence. It is time for you to make a decision. Are you going to follow the leadership and do what I've called this house to do? If you do what you're called to do, you will be blessed in the doing. But I am moving. You can move or you can get trampled. This is my word to this house for now.
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Every word's not a happy word, but every word is a good word, amen? The Bible says Jesus is a great stone. Anyone on whom that stone falls will be broken, but anyone on whom that stone falls will be destroyed. Amen. I say we push through to be the ones that are broken before our Lord and Savior, amen? Amen. Join me in saying, Lord, be it unto us according to your word. Lord, not what we want, but what you want. Amen. I don't want to stand in the way. And I don't want to stop what the Lord's trying to do. Jesus told Peter, man, I'm going to go. I'm going to die for you guys. Peter said, no, may it never be. He said, get behind me, Satan. He said, no, we don't want to be Peter. We want to be the Peter after that said, Lord, and fell on his knees. Whatever your will is, that's what I desire. Amen. And then let me take care of some things. It's good to be in front of you. It's good to see you here. Amen. COVID didn't keep you away. Our pastors are back. I'm glad y'all didn't stay in Oklahoma. Demetrius did a great job, but we missed you. We missed you. Amen. Amen. So again, before I go on, I'm going to continue to do this as long as God puts it on my heart. If you're in the house today, you're watching by live stream, I want you to go to your phone, to go to your laptop, whatever social media device you have, and text the link to another friend. Let me tell you why I say this. Me and my wife were watching a program last night, and I don't know if you guys remember this, but back in 2002 and 2004, there was a guy by the name of Ariel Castro who kidnapped three women. And he assaulted them, molested them, held them against their will, tortured them, and things like that. And in the middle of this torture, one of the women, she was watching news with this guy, and she saw on the newscast that her mother had passed. And in that moment, such an emotion of loss and regret and despair hit her that she turned to her captor and said, "Can you give me a hug?" And I understood right away what was going on, but the person was interested and said, "Why would you do that? This is the guy that kidnapped you." And she said, "Yeah, I know that, but in that moment, I just needed to feel some love." And I don't know what spheres that God has called you to, if you're in a Brian Minister thing about God giving you a portion, but I'm telling you, you don't know what a word of encouragement or just a word of love. The Bible says words at the right seasons are like apples planted on platters of silver. Just you texting somebody, "Hey, this would encourage you, this might bless you, this might uplift you," you have no idea what that could be. Somebody, there is a friend that you have, there's a relative that you have, there's a coworker that you have, you don't know what they're going through or how God may be trying to reach them. And just by you cooperating, you know, I believe God wants me to send it to this person, or I believe God wants me to touch these people, you are cooperating with the Holy Spirit in reaching out to others to reconcile them to himself. So I'm going to continue to do that. Hopefully I'm not the only one. I text like 18 people before every service. I text them for the praise part, so I'm helping us in the praise too, not just when the minister gets up. But I want us again to move beyond these walls. That's the first thing. The second thing, I want to do this. God got on me about it. I hadn't really thought about it, but years ago I worked at a camp called Kids Across America. And if you've been here and you've listened to me, I've actually talked about my experiences there. And but there's one particular experience that I didn't talk about, and I really didn't understand it at the time. But anyway, we have a lot of different things. We have programs for the kids. We have sports activities that the kids participate in. And so this was the particular thing that I was doing was a program, something where we gather all the kids together in this thing that we call a barn, and we'll have somebody speak or something like that. So in this particular thing, I was speaking at the in the gym, and all the kids were there. And while I was ministering, God's presence was there. That's not something that I wasn't expecting to happen. I believe we're gathered together. God is there in the midst of us, that I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit, and I'm cooperating with the Spirit. But while I was ministering, all of a sudden, this girl jumps up, lets out a shriek, a blood-curdling shriek, "Yeah!" and runs out one of the doors. We have two doors on either side. And she stops at the step. She bends over, and she throws up. And I looked, and I kind of recognized what was going on. She was being oppressed by a spirit or whatever, and God was delivering her in that moment. I never touched her. I never spoke to her. But she went through that experience. And so I kind of logged it away. And then as we finished the message and we went through the thing, one of my co-counselors came up to me, and she said, "Man, that was amazing." You know, and my ego got stroked a little bit. You know, "Hey, I'm young in the Lord." thank you. I know it was. And she said, "Did you hear that?" And I was like, did I hear what? You know, I think she's talking on the screen. She said, "No, man, the whole time you were ministering, this thunder was reverberating around the room. Did you hear that?" And I heard nothing. So I couldn't say that. I was like, you know. As I went back, I said, "Father, what was she talking about?" And she said, "While you were ministering, I was moving in the room." And I never pressed into that. I just thanked the Father for it, went on. But God reminded me of that when Michelle spoke in it was toward the end of one of her messages about what God is doing. And in this particular time, while we are ministering the word, while we are praising God, God is moving in the house. So while, if you are in here and you have a leg issue, I'm telling you, if you will stretch out your faith, God will touch your leg. If you have some internal injuries or there's something going on in your organs, if you reach out your faith at the point of contact, God will heal your body. If you've got some mental issues going on, if you will reach out your faith in this moment, God is healing you. Because this time when God moves, it is not going to be attached to a person. It's going to be acknowledged that this is God moving. This is God. This is not us. So I'm not going to touch it. I just want to echo what she ministered and continue to release it, that God is moving right now, not toward the end. And I may call the ministers to come up and pray, but right now, God is moving in this place. Reach out and catch that. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you. You are moving. We don't stand in the way. Have your way, Father. Move by your Spirit. We receive it. We submit to what you're doing. We don't want to touch it, Father. We want you to be glorified. To you belongs the kingdom and the glory, Lord. We receive it. We rejoice in it. We glory in you, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, praise God. You can turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 27. We'll go over a couple of, probably jump over a little bit. I have a lot to get through and a little time to do it. But I'm going to do my best. Amen. I still ascribe to the great proverb, blessed are the short-winded. They will be brought back. But amen. But give me a little bit of time to push through this. I believe this is a great message. It's something I was listening to another person. They said this particular phrase, and it just blew up in me. I was like, wow. And then God began to give me some things on it. So Acts chapter 27. All right, I'm going to start there, and I may back up a little bit. Starts out like this. When it was decided that we would sail for Italy, Paul and some of the other prisoners were handed over to a centurion named Julius, who belonged to the imperial regiment. We boarded a ship from Adramyttium, about to sail for ports along the coast of the province of Asia, and we put out to sea. Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica, was with us. The next day we landed at Sidon, and Julius, in kindness to Paul, allowed him to go to his friends so they might provide for his needs. From there we put out to sea again and passed to the lee of Cyprus because the winds were against us. When we had sailed across the open sea off the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we landed at Myra in Lycia. There the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing for Italy and put us on board. We made slow headway for many days and had difficulty arriving off Cnidus. When the wind did not allow us to hold our course, remember this, the wind's fighting them. The wind did not allow us to hold our course. We sailed to the lee of Crete, opposite of Salmone. We moved along the coast with difficulty and came to a place called Fair Havens near the town of Lycia. Now, let me give you a picture of what's going on. This is right after the time Paul's been traveling around. He's preaching the gospel, and he decides he wants to go back to Jerusalem. He goes to Jerusalem. He gets to Jerusalem. The brothers greet him. He says, great things have happened. All these people, all these Gentiles have gotten saved. And they said, that's great. A whole bunch of Jews have gotten saved, a lot of believers. And they tell him, but Paul, they are zealous for the law. It's a problem. Because we heard about what you've been telling them, and they believe that you're telling these people not to follow the law. That's a problem for Jewish people. Now, we all know about the conflict that Paul had with Peter when Peter came, and he was with the Gentiles, and he was doing what the Gentiles were doing, and then some Jewish brothers came up, and Peter saw those brothers, and all of a sudden, he acted like he didn't even know these Gentiles that were saved. And Paul went up to him and said, I opposed Peter to his face, you hypocrite. Because Paul was preaching a gospel of grace and freedom apart from the law. Didn't disagree with the law, but it was apart from the law. So he said, we got problems. So what we're going to do, now, caveat, on his way to Jerusalem, God is sending people to Paul to tell him, when you get to Jerusalem, you're going to be chained. That's not the word I want to hear. Two times that we know of, people came to him and said, Paul, if you do this, you're going to be in prison. And Paul said, I don't care about any chains. I'm willing to die for God. I'm going to Jerusalem. And they said, all right, well, God's will be done. And he goes to Jerusalem. He's getting there, and they're telling him, look, you got to do this to appease these people. Now, I expect because of the way Paul treated Peter, Paul would have said, I ain't appeasing nobody. That's not what Paul did. Paul said, okay. So I said, look, this is what we want you to do. We want you to cleanse yourself. We want you to pay for these brothers. Two other brothers. I don't know how that get roped in. I got to cleanse myself and them too. And perform the rites and then go to the temple and blah, blah, blah. So Paul does all this. Unbeknownst to him, there are some Jews from Asia where Paul had went, preaching the gospel, stirring up trouble, came down to Jerusalem. And when they see Paul in the streets, they get the people excited. This is the man that's preaching against this place, preaching against this law. Help us, help us. And they grab Paul and start assaulting him. Middle of that commotion, some guards grab him, go tell a commander. Roman commander comes over, grabs him, puts Paul in two chains, because he wants the people to be appeased. Y'all need to calm down. Puts him in two chains. What's going on? And so Paul then has to tell the guy, I'm being persecuted because of, you know, the way or whatever. He's trying to explain it. He said, let me talk to the people. The people want to kill him even more. So the crowd said, we got to get this dude out of here. It's too much of a riot. So they get Paul out of there. He takes him to Festus, who was the governor at the time. Festus listens to what's going on. The Jews come up, they listen to him, and Festus is like, oh my gosh, this is not a real serious thing, but he doesn't want to take off the Jews. So Paul ends up staying in prison for 2 years. Although, and this is where we get the letters with Paul, he's in prison, I'm in chains for the gospel, blah, blah, blah. This is what's going on. He stays in prison 2 years, Festus goes out of office, and then another governor comes in and sees Paul in there. Jews come on and say, hey, man, you need to release this dude to us. I'm knowing that these people said, look, we're going to get this dude back to Jerusalem. When he gets to Jerusalem, we're going to kill him. We're going to make an oath. We're not going to eat or drink anything until we kill this dude. I don't know what they did for 2 years, but I think the oath might have been slightly altered a little bit. So anyway, they go to the new governor, talk to him, say, all right. As he's making his tour, he goes down to Jerusalem. Come with me back up to Cilicia, and we're going to hear it out. They hear it out, and the dude is kind of familiar with the way. And Paul gets slick. Man, I'm a Pharisee. I'm being persecuted because I believe in the resurrection. The Pharisees in the house say, hey, man, ain't nothing wrong with this dude. The Sadducees in the place like, because they don't believe in the resurrection. You know, that's why they were sad. But anyway, they're all upset. Things go to heck. So he still holds them. The Jews are talking to him. He wants to do something for the Jews. So I said, you know what? I'm going to do something for y'all. I'll just send him back to Jerusalem. And, you know, then the plan would have been carried out. So he asked Paul if he'd like to go back to Jerusalem to do the case. And Paul, because Paul knew what they were trying to do, and then Paul gets slick. He gets legal on him. He said, man, I can defend myself in any case, but I'm not going to do it. I appeal to Caesar, which I guess is like appealing to the Supreme Court. And Paul's actually a Roman citizen, and so that's a serious issue. So he says, all right, to Caesar you appeal, to Caesar you will go. And so he holds him a little bit longer. King Agrippa comes in, hears him, and actually says, man, if this dude hadn't appealed to Caesar, he'd be set free. Which is not actually true, because the dude was going to send him back to Jerusalem, and they would have killed him on the way to Jerusalem. But anyway, he recognized Paul shouldn't have been in there. And so Paul has been given to a Roman centurion, a soldier named Julius, and they were put on the ship, and he's sailing on his way to Rome. That's where we are. The title of this message, if any of you are writing down, is When God Tells You to Stay on the Broken Ship. When God tells you to stay on a broken ship. I want you to recognize several things in the beginning of this passage. He said, the land of descendant and kindness of Paul allowed him to go to his friends. From there we put out to sea again and passed to the lee of Cyprus because the winds were against us. That's number one. They're sailing, but the winds are against them. Five, when we had sailed across the open sea out to the coast of Cilicia and the Pamphylia and landed at Myra and Lycia, there the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing from Italy and put us on board. We made slow headway for many days and had difficulty arriving at Cnidus. That's the second time they're having problems on the open sea. When the wind did not allow us to hold our course, we sailed to the lee of Crete opposite of Salmone. Now, to the lee side meant that you were on the side where the wind was blowing into land. Is that because the wind was so rough, we had to go on that side of lee. We had to go on that side. So they're having problems. He said, we moved on the coast with difficulty and came to a place called Fair Haven, near the town of Lycia. Now, it said, much time had been lost, and sailing had already become dangerous, this is verse 9, because by now it was after the fast, in quotations, capital mark. If you go down and read your notation, you'll notice that the fast was actually the Day of Atonement. So this puts it about the time between late September and October. This is the time for fall turning into winter. Y'all still looking at me like, know what I'm talking about. If I can put it in different terms, this is hurricane season. This is you deciding to go on a cruise right when those things get turned up and say, Hurricane Sally is coming in. And so they're out there on the sea, out there, and the winds are blowing against them, and they're having trouble. And God says, John, remind the people, you know what? Make sure you don't push past the warnings. God's giving you warning signs, but you're too determined to push forward to listen. Y'all know about this. Wives, you're talking to your husband's out, something your husband made a decision, you don't agree with the decision, and so you push just past that point before he loses it. Let me flip that. Guys, you know when you're talking to your wife about something. The married people know what I'm talking about. Y'all know. Y'all see him walk through the church door, say, hey, Brother Brian, and Brother Brian's not talking. Not Brother Brian, Brother John's not talking. They just working through something. They're working through something. Let me put it a different way so you might understand it. You decide that you're going to go with this particular spouse, a man or a woman, and you're talking to them, and you're not feeling good on the inside, but they look too good. You don't want to pass them up. You take them into your life, and all of a sudden, all hell breaks out in your life. You push past the warning. You push past the warning. You want to go into this particular job or business adventure, and God's churning things up on the inside of you. Don't do it. There's something that's just not right. But you say, no, the money's too good. I need to do it. And all of a sudden, you have to file for bankruptcy. Don't push past the warnings. It's hurricane season. There's a reason why God deposited his spirit within you. There's a reason for your emotions. Generally look at the women because they're more in tune with their emotions. And God, we get upset when your wife says, you know what, is there something wrong? There's nothing wrong with me, but she's in tune. There's a reason for those. Not supposed to be devoid of those. If you're walking out on the beach and you cut yourself on a glass in your foot and your foot was bleeding horribly, if you did not have any pain, you wouldn't know you would be cut and you could possibly bleed out. The pain is a friend. God gives you these emotions, these things that are in tune with your spirit can warn you of trouble that's coming or around you. Don't push past the warning signs. One of the things I like to teach new believers is a verse in Colossians 3:15. It says, let the peace of God rest, rule, and abide in your heart. Before you do anything or as you're doing anything, make sure you listen for the peace. The Bible said God makes his sheep lie down beside still waters. Or he causes you to lie down in green pastures. He makes you drink from still waters. You're out there and you're trying to do some particular thing. You're trying to talk to a particular person and you're troubled on the inside. You need to take a step back. Just to hear. I mean, it could just be gas. But if you step back to listen and God's telling you something, you will hear it in your quiet season. Make sure you don't push past the warning. The Bible said the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you into all truth. That's in every facet of your life. To quote a popular movie that was years ago, kind of my days of slavery, God may be trying to tell you something. So, Proverbs 1:8 says, listen to the instructions of your father and don't forsake the teaching of your mother. Because wisdom cries aloud in the streets. It's not hiding. So make sure you're listening. See that? That's the first page. We're already at 12 o'clock. Oh my gosh. We're going to press through. Acts 27. Verse 11, much time had been lost and sailing had already become dangerous. So because by now it was after the fast. So Paul warned them. Paul says this, men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo and to our own lives also. But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and of the owner of the ship. Since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in. So the majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. The centurion decided not to listen to Paul because the harbor was unsuitable to winter in. Let me explain to you what was going on. They arrived at Safe Haven, Fair Haven. It was a small port area. Wasn't a big city or big town. It was an area where you could put a couple of ships in. Problem with that is that it did not provide protection from the winds of the storm on all sides. So it wasn't favorable to winter there. Another problem is that there wasn't a lot of stores or places to go and get supplies from in Fair Haven. So if they were going to stay there for the winter, they would have had to travel and get a whole bunch of stores so they could last the entire winter. It was not the best place to be in. Oh, yeah, and there weren't any towns nearby. Weren't any Best Westerns in the area. It's not really the best place for you to stay. God said this to me. He said, John, all bad places are tough, but not all tough places are bad. Says this, or this is what I heard from a different person, but I wholly agree with it. Be careful you don't rush from someplace you don't want to be, only to end up someplace that might destroy you. The Bible says this in James 1:3-4, the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work. You're thinking just because I'm in a tough time, I need to get out of here before I lose my mind. And God said, no, stay right there. Let patience have its perfect work. I'm trying to develop you. I'm trying to build you. That's why I placed you in this uncomfortable place, this uncomfortable position, because I need to build some character in you. You're out here trying to rebuke the devil, and God's trying to bring you up. You only hear that if you listen. He said, but I don't want to be there. You might end up someplace that'll destroy you. I'm here. I'm alone. Damon's got a wife. How come I can't have a wife? I think I'm just going to go get this person. You're uncomfortable being alone, so you bring danger into your house. Wow. Don't do it. Don't do it. The Bible says it's better to live in the corner of a rooftop than to be in a house with a contentious woman. The Bible says woman, not me.
That's right.
I'm going to just say don't be in a bad relationship. It ain't worth it. It's not worth it. You're at a job and there's a person there and they just irritate you, or they're not treating you the way you think you should be treated, and you decide, I'm just going to get up and leave. You might be running from your place of promotion. Come on, don't leave the place that's uncomfortable to go to a place that could destroy you. Julius Caesar said this: it is easier to find a man who will volunteer to die than to find those who are willing to endure pain with patience. Come on, God's not trying to kill you. He's trying to build you. The Bible says this, 1 Peter 5:10, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace will restore you. He promises. But you may have to endure some suffering. Let me give you another one that just make you shout. 1 Peter 2:19, for God is pleased with you when you patiently endure unjust treatment. You getting treated unfairly. You getting treated unjustly. And you're like, God, why you got me in this place? God, move me out of place. He said, just a little while longer. Just a little while longer. You think he doesn't see you. He says, I see it. I'm doing something. He might not even be doing something in you. He might be doing something in them. You're trying to abort the process. No, give it a little time. Give it a little time. Because after a little while, I'm going to restore you. I'm going to exalt you. I'm going to build you up. What should I do when I'm in that time? Hold on to your faith. 1 Peter 1:19. So I'm just reading. I can't even go to the scriptures to let you read them, because I got to get through. The Bible says, 1 Timothy 1:19, hold on to faith and good conscience, which some have rejected and so have suffered shipwreck with regard to their faith. This is even in the verse. Shipwreck. You know what that Greek word means? It means shipwreck. To break ship. To be dashed on the rocks. You're not going anywhere anymore. You've come on a hard time and you can't believe God put you in this place. So you decide, you know what? I'm done with it. This faith's not working. You're getting shipwrecked. No, hold on to your faith. The Bible says in James 1:21, accept the word planted in you, which can save you, deliver you. That was the writing word that Angel just said. I've placed a word in this place. Hold on to it. Don't let the raven steal what God has given to you. Hold on to it. Hold on to it. If you hold on to it, it will bear fruit. You know, I love the songs that we sing here, and we sing praise and worship, but there is a particular song from the old gospel that speaks specifically to this. It says, we've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He's never failed me yet. Come on. Oh, can't turn around. We've come this far by. Come on, man. Some of them old songs can minister to you, all right? Don't release your faith. That word that you hold on to can save you. Acts 27:20, we'll go back to that. Let me jump down to verse 20. Oh my gosh, I want to read all those other things. Wait a minute, is that where Paul says that? Now, we couldn't winter there. General South Wind blowing in glove 15. Ship was caught by the storm 16. As we passed the Leo's small island, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. 18, we took violent battering. 19, on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard. It was getting bad. 20, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. I thought that was pertinent. It says, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging. Let me point out to you how bleak this is. And I gotta believe men were panicking on the ship. Because although I enjoy playing video games, there's no meter bar over your head that says, hopeful, oh, it's gone. So somebody had to be screaming, oh my God, we're going to die. Because Vaughn knows that they had given up all hope. Let me tell you why they had given up all hope. If you are a sailor, if you're a person that likes to go out and navigate the sea, and I understand this because me and Anisha, we told our friend Sean Bradley, what's up, Sean? Hopefully he's watching, that we went out on a cruise, and Sean said, oh, I can never go out on a cruise. Because anytime you get out in that water and you can't see land anymore, you're in trouble. He said, once you leave land, I'm jumping off the boat and I'm going to the shore. Because he said, because you don't know where you are. You're in the middle of the ocean. It all looks like water. You could be going anywhere. And so if you're a sailor, a person that navigates the sea, what you do is you look up at the, well, now we have technology, but they used to look up at the stars to determine the course in their path. And they said for many days, the sun, the stars, the clouds were wiped out. Let me say it to you like this. They had no idea where they were. They had no idea where they were going. They didn't know where safe haven was anymore. They didn't know where a landmass might be that they could go to and find shelter. They were completely lost in the middle of the storm. Have you ever felt like you've been completely lost in the middle of your storm? You don't know which way is up. You don't know which way is out. You got in there because you rebelled against God. You didn't do what your wise advisor was telling you to do or guiding you. You decide you're going to get out there and do it, and then get bad, and all of a sudden you don't know how you're going to get out. God says this, when you're in the middle of the storm, remember this. The storm does not determine your destination. What guides you does. The storm does not determine your destination. What you choose to allow to guide you will. Let me say this. When you're in the middle of a storm, remember the storm does not determine your destination. What you choose to allow to guide you will. You know, Peter gets excited. He sees Jesus out on the water. It's like, oh my God, is that you, Lord? If it's you, tell me to come on the water. He said, hey, I'm not vain, come. Peter gets out there on the water and he's walking. He's not swimming. He's actually walking. And in the middle of successfully performing the task given to him by his Lord, he notices the waves around him, starts to doubt, and begins to sink. Now, it would be a tragic tale if he just stayed there and Jesus watched him drown and said, oh, I guess he couldn't do it. But in the middle of that storm, even though he must have completely forgot, I'm actually walking. I'm actually walking. He's sinking. He's going to his death. He reaches out his hand and he says, Lord, save me. When you're in the middle of the storm, and it's taking you all around. The storm does not determine your destination. What you choose to allow to guide you will. Jesus had told them, come. That was the word given. And so he was able to do it. You saw it again, one other time. The disciples were in the boat. Jesus said, we're going to the other side. In the middle of going to the other side, a storm raises up. The disciples are saying, my God, we're going to die. Teacher, don't you care? But in the middle of the storm, they went back to the master. The Bible says, I don't care where you go. You can go up to the heights of heaven. God will be there. You can go down to the depths of Sheol. God will be there. I don't care how ashamed you get. I don't care how embarrassed you feel. In the middle of your storm, right after your great mistake, you can call out to your God and he will hear you. The Bible says he is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. We act like because we messed up, it's too late. No, that's the devil. That's the accuser putting that in your brain. Once you come to your senses, the Bible says the prodigal son woke up and said, you know what? My servants get treated better than this. And he went back home. In the middle of your storm, wake up and call out to your God. Allow him to lead you to safety. It's not the storm that's going to determine where you end up. It's not your trouble that's going to try to squash you. It's your God that can lead you to your safety. Call out to him and be saved. My God, I'm getting a little excited. Let me calm down. Let me calm down. Come on. Acts 27, 21. After the men had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice not to sell them Crete. I hate this person. We out here, we in the middle of trouble, and he has to stand up and remind me, you should have listened to me. He had to get it in there. He had to get it in there. I understand. I didn't get it right. Yes, I'm wrong. He just wanted to tell him. You should have taken my advice to not sell them Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now, nevertheless, I urge you to keep up your courage because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men. For I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Oh, my God. Now, I'll give you this. Back in Acts 23, before all this happened, Jesus stands before Paul and tells Paul, you are going to testify in Rome. This is a we're going to the other side moment. So Paul's looking around and says, I don't care what's going on in this situation. I know I have an appointment in Rome. See, I don't understand the situation. Let me give it to you in a way that you might understand. There's a particular show that me and Damon like to watch. It comes right out of our flesh. It's a show called The Walking Dead. Yeah, it's out of the flesh, man. I'm telling you, God works on us. And it's like you said, it's a lot of zombies walking around, and it's people overcoming challenges to get around the zombies. And there's a particular person that all the fans are like, a little Oriental guy, and he was just a great heroine. He helped people. He sacrificed his not life yet, but, you know, he gave himself for the person he loved. He was a great person. And Glenn, in one particular show, Glenn's going out to help some other people. Somebody got in trouble. Glenn rushed out there, got them to safety. The zombies are all around him. I'm like this, watching television. Oh, my God. Glenn, no! Glenn rushes out. He tries to get up the building, can't get up the building. He looks, and there's this big trash can. I'm like, Glenn, get on the trash can! Glenn doesn't get under the trash can. He crawls under the trash can, and the show ends. I'm like, oh, my God. What's going on? So I do what I always do. I rush to Damon. Damon, what happened? What happened? Damon got the 411, man. He knows stuff well in advance. And Damon could encourage me, man, even though Glenn actually did die in the comic book. He said, John, you don't have to worry, man. Glenn's still going to be around because Damon knew things in advance, ahead of where I was in the process. If I could say it this day, Damon knew that Glenn was going to be in the season finale. Let me tell you this. It doesn't matter what's happening around you. Your God has placed you in the season finale. You're in the season finale. Though the fire raises around you and touches you, it cannot burn you. God has given you an appointment. I said it before, your destiny will defeat your destruction. You stand firm. Don't you bow the knee. You tell him, I don't care what you do, King. We will not bow the knee. And you watch your God take you to your destiny. Your destiny will defeat your destruction. You're in the season finale. Come on, that's not mine. I borrowed that somebody, but I don't care. Let me get to the last one. Oh, my gosh. Y'all be patient with me a little bit. I'm trying to finish. Paul tells them, we're going to live. Shit's not going to make, but we're going to live. This is not even for everybody. This is for us here in the church. Acts 27. 27 on the 14th night, we would still be driven across the Atlantic, Adriatic Sea when after about midnight, the sailors, since they were approaching land. They took soundings, found that the water was 120 feet. Short time later, they took soundings, found that it was 19 feet. So what's happening, they're getting closer and closer to land. So fearing that they would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the storm and then prayed. And then they attempted to escape from the ship. Sailors let the lifeboat down in the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. I'm telling you right now, these people right here, they're black. Those are people. We're not staying here and dying with the rest of y'all. We're trying to get out of this thing. I'm just saying. I might try to do that. We're not going. Verse 31, then Paul said to the Syrian soldiers, unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved. So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it fall away. And then this is the title of a message. When God says, stay on the broken ship. What do you do when God says, stay on the broken ship? Let me put it to you this way. What do you do when the thing that you have relied upon has been removed from you? Ship was what was carrying them. Ship was about to break apart. These men said, you know what? We need to get off of here. I'm telling you, you got to listen. What's God saying? In this particular time, you probably should think about Psalms 107 and remember that God is good. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his love endures forever. We have the tendency to think that because I'm going through a bad time, God's love has forgotten me. No, I think that's when God's love is surrounding us the greatest. He hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't stopped loving you. You need to do what our pastor's encouraging. Come away, and hear the voice of your God. You need to remember that he's good, and you also need to remember that he is faithful. 2 Thessalonians 5, 3 and 3. No, 3, 2 Thessalonians 3 and 3. It says, the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Is that only when times are good? Is that only when I've been good? Or is that who he is? And that's what I receive. No, he's faithful even when I'm not faithful. Some people like to tell you, well, when you mess up, you know, God's going to withhold his goodness from you. No, that's why Jesus died. I'm not fulfilling the righteous requirement of the law, but he did. I'm in a better position than them that died under the law. They were punished when they rebelled. They were punished when they sinned. But blessed is the man. Come on. Because the Lord has cast his sin far away from him. No, 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 he's faithful. Even when I'm faithless. I got to turn it. I got to get out of Acts and read this again. I read it before, but it applies now because you got to remember the promise. Psalm 91, 5 through 10. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday, nor the COVID-19 that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes the punishment of the wicked, man. He's faithful. He's faithful. I'm in a hard time, but I can trust that he is faithful. I want to leave this area. I want to leave this situation. And God says, no, 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 stay, stay, stay. And I got to say, God, I don't understand what you're doing, but I'll trust you. Job said, even though he slays me, I'll trust him. Come on, man. Don't lead a broken ship. Don't try to flee the situation. If God tells you to, do it. I'm not saying don't listen to God. God might say, hey, that's bad. Get out of there. Get out. Don't say that. But if you go to your father and your father doesn't say anything, or he says, no, be still. Come on. You and your husband just got in a terrible fight. And then you got some man over here whispering sweet nothings in your ear. Don't leave the broken ship. Seems tempting. Seems tempting. Stay on the broken ship. Stay on the broken ship. Come on. Come on. My husband's not treating me the way I think I deserve to be treated. Remember, pastor told me this story. I wanted to stand up and slap him. Not really, because I was afraid of Pastor Jim. But he said, do you know, before Smith Wigglesworth became Smith Wigglesworth, he was a drunken man, and his wife was going out doing things, and he used to lock the door on this woman when she was going out to do her church thing. In the morning, he'd unlock the door, she'd get up, dust herself off, and cook him breakfast. My God, she would not get off the broken ship. If I did that to Anitra, I would not sleep at night. I know something we come from. Now, she's a gentlewoman, she's a gentlewoman. Yeah, don't tick off a black woman, boy. You're in trouble. My God. I'm going to get you out of here. I'm going to get you out of here. I got to get you to the last point. Acts 27, 44. Let me go back to Acts. Let me get you out of here. This is the part that's for us. And when I read it, I thought about us. I don't know what you'll think about, but I'll think about us. Cutting loose the anchors, they left them in the sea and at the same time untied the ropes that held the rudders. Then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and made for the beach. But the ship struck a sandbar around the ground. The bow stuck fast, wouldn't move, and was broken to pieces by the pounding surf. Now, 43, they said, let's kill all the prisoners. And what the centurion didn't want to do that because he wanted to save Paul. 44 says the rest were to get there to land on planks or on pieces of the ship. And in this way, everyone reached safety. So some people jumped overboard so they could swim to land. They said the rest of them, they were holding on to pieces of the ship. God says, you know what, we're not merely broken. We've just taken a new form. You see, the ship actually made it to land. It just made it in a different form. The ship actually got there. It just didn't look like the ship when they got there. And God speaking to me, said, you know what? John, sometimes we're going to different places in God. We're going to a certain destination. But when we get there, we don't look like we thought we were going to look. We didn't get there the way we thought we were going to get there. But we got there holding on to pieces of what we had before. See, those pieces are the foundational stones that give us life. Just listen to me for a little bit. Listen to me for a little bit. Listen to me for a little bit, and you'll see where I'm going. See, Paul had always wanted to go to Rome. He says it in his letters. He wanted to get to Rome. He was going to Rome, but he didn't know he was going in chains. He got to his destination, but when he got there, it looked a little different. Still got the structure. It's just the form is new. Listen to me. Listen to me. You out there, listen to me. Some people endured what we went through in this church. We lost our founder, who's moved on. He's not here with us anymore. And they decided to leave the ship. It's broken. It's not going. Need to get out. God's saying, look, man, the ship, it's not broken. It's just transformed. We still hold to the foundation that our founding pastor laid. The church looks a little different, but the pieces are still here. Mission's still here. If you don't quit, you win. Still here. Faith through knowledge producing the truth in action. Still here. We just look a little different. We just look a little different. But it's the same God. It's the same anointing. And we're going to the same prophesied destination. So if you're listening, you're watching, and you're not here, come on back. Come on back. The ship was broken, but we're not destroyed. I remember watching a movie years ago. It's a movie that actually Denzel produced called Antoine Fisher, about a young man that went through hell. He was molested, he was manipulated. And Denzel is a counselor, and he's talking to this guy, and we get to the end of the movie where you have the arc where you go up and you go down, and he realizes that he can be free of the things that held him back. And in that moment of realization, he takes this girl that's taking his journey with him, and he goes back to the place where he was molested, where he was tortured, and he sees the woman, knocks on the door, and he says, you know what? You tried to destroy me, but I'm still here! The devil tried to wreck us, but we're still here! My God! He tried to ruin you. He tried to steal you from God. He tried to take you out, but you need to stand on your feet and shout right now, I'm still here. Hallelujah. We're still here. We're still doing it. We're still moving in the anointing of our God. Hallelujah. 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 Come on. I'm going to close. But I'm going to do what the Lord put in my heart. It may not be for anybody here. But if you've got something going on in your body, in your mind, there's something that you need from God. This is your opportunity. Get out into the aisle. Come forward, and the ministers will pray for you. I'm going to ask the ministers to come forward. Let God use you. And we're just going to take a little time. We're just going to take a little time. But if this is something, again, God's moving, you may already notice that there is healing going on in your body. You can just stand up and say, thank God. But right now, come forward. Come forward. Let the Spirit of God move in you. And then we'll move on. Come on. Come on. We're not just preaching nice words. We're not just preaching nice words. We are preaching the truth of the word under the power of our God. We don't want you to believe our persuasive words. We want you to trust in the power of our God. Come on. He is the healer. He is the redeemer. He's rescued us, given us health, safety, soundness, and wholeness. Come on. If you're out there, then pray with us. Rejoice in God. Come on. Amen. 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 God's moving right now. Come on. Come on. Come on. We have a couple of ladies over here that need to be ministered to. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain,
break every chain,
break every chain. There's power. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, 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 break every chain. There is power, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There's an army rising. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There's an army, there's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up to break, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There's power, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. What a powerful message. What a powerful message. We are here, and we're not going anywhere. Hallelujah. 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 Let's just one more time, let's just offer a praise to our God. Hallelujah. 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 We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you. Mighty God. Mighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for your anointing. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. For I know, this is God. God said, I know the plans that I have for you. God knew all the plan to get Paul to Rome. It's still the same plan. God's plan never changed. God's plan never changed. God doesn't change in your life. He has a plan for your life. And you know what? That plan is an expected, a good expected end. A plan of well-being, a plan of abundance, a plan of provision, a plan of his anointing being released. And it's for each one of you. Each one. Everyone. You have a plan in God. Everyone. Not just the family, not just the church, but everyone has their own plan in the heart of God. God has a plan for you. Your choice to choose to line up with that plan. Praise God. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord. It's been good to be in his presence. We've enjoyed the time together with the family. Brother John ministered powerfully before us this morning to us. So let's be a blessing to him. Use this bucket up here, and we're not paying him. We are blessing him. And that goes beyond a number. So blessing generously because he gave fully to us. Thank you, Brother John. We appreciate that. Prayer meeting Tuesday night, church Wednesday. I think we're having praise team rehearsal on Thursday. Another prayer meeting on Friday morning at way early in the morning. And then another prayer meeting on Saturday evening at 7 o'clock. If you can't find a time to come pray, you're too busy. You're too busy. But I don't know that we can ever say we prayed too much, that there was ever too much prayer. So jump in. Find you a spot. Yeah. No, I can't see it. Pardon me just a minute. We got a praise report. There it is. This is from Brother Wally. Promotion comes only from God. I give God all the glory, honor, and adoration. Pastor Jim always said, whatever you can celebrate, you can possess. Last week, Brother Brian encouraged us that we should not view our world in light of other people's experience or what the statistics or experts say. A few months ago, before COVID pandemic, in my place of employment, there was an announcement for the position of a department manager. This type of position opens maybe once in 2 or 3 years, and the competition is always fierce because whatever qualifications you have, another candidate has more. Sound like a tough place. I have positioned myself for this opportunity before it came through studies, hard work, mentoring, and most importantly, putting my trust only in God. We were informed about 100 of eligible candidates applied nationwide. It never bothered me because I claim the position is mine, and regardless of the situation, I was calm and not intimidated. Oh, the intimidation. There's a lot to be said for. We're going to talk about that pretty soon. I continued. Oh, there's another one. I continued to do my part, which I have been doing for years. Hard work, studying, among other things, but ultimately I surrender everything to God. Four candidates scaled to the final interview process. To avoid favoritism or other similar issues, interview panel consists of four out-of-state senior managers and our director in Austin. A few weeks later, my boss invited me to his office and informed me about how competitive the whole process was and they can only select one candidate. At that point, he said, the panel picked you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was overwhelmed with joy and emotion. I cried on my way back to my office. I would like to say a big thank you to all the teaching we receive here at House of the Lord. From Wally. Praise God. Praise God. Hundred eligible candidates from around the nation, but they only picked one. And guess who got it? Praise God. Because he continued and he wasn't intimidated. Praise God. Well, I call you blessed. The hand of the Lord is on each and every one of your lives. He is leading you and guiding you in his paths, in his abundance, his prosperity, his overflow, his love, and his authority. Rise up. Take your place. Continue in what you have learned and what you have heard. Don't jump ship. Don't give up. Because if you don't quit, you win. You are blessed of the Lord, and whom the Lord has blessed, none can curse. Go with God. And to all you fathers, happy Father's Day. Maybe the kids will grill for you. I have no hope. But God is good. You're dismissed.